Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
The end of becoming is the beginning of destruction. The end of destruction is the beginning of becoming. Everything on earth must be destroyed, for without destruction, nothing can be created. The new comes out of the old. Every birth of living flesh, like every growth of crop from seed, will be followed by destruction. But from decay comes renewal. Through the circling course of the celestial gods and the power of nature, who has her being in the being of Atum. For man, time is a destroyer, but for the cosmos, it is an ever-turning wheel. Not an ever-turning wheel, that would be really bad. So I'm reading from the Hermetica. And the reason I picked this, because I was thinking of our host, our former but returning host, Queen Mother Imaku, and then I was reading from this. And believe it or not, I've been thinking about, a lot about death recently, which isn't normally me. But
no,
I,
that's not normally. Yeah.
But I have been. And so I was reading things on reincarnation. I thought that might blanket some of our discussion tonight. I was just maybe in the mood to discuss reincarnation, death. Well, I believe in reincarnation, but not everybody does, and not all pagans do. But it's just something that's been on my mind a lot, and the Hermetica mentions aspects of this, of course. Not only that, I mentioned Queen Mother, who's going to be returning soon, by the way, to do, I think, 2 Thursdays a month.
Okay. Cool.
Kemetic African connection, and that's what we think. Egypt. Egypt is in Africa. You know, in
oh,
the
wait.
Hermetic.
Forever.
Hermes is the Greek version. Of course,
yeah.
They say it's the Egyptian is Thoth, right, for the connection there.
Yeah.
And so the interesting thing is the misunderstanding of the African connection to spirituality. You know, that even the Greek traditions come in part from an African connection. The Christian beliefs that we're going to have a guest soon. I was just talking to him tonight. I'm not going to mention his name on the air yet because I just didn't get his permission to.
Oh.
But he's a friend of mine and a good friend of mine and a very bright, intellectual, philosophical guy. He's also very Christian, but he's very much into the Black Jesus, and it's interesting to think of that, how some of these connections get lost, including in Buddhism. They think that the original Buddha, or what they called from the Satya or the Nagas, was Afro-Asian, maybe at
yeah.
least.
Yeah.
And so we're going to discuss these histories. And that's why I wanted to announce this, because I'm kind of a little bit excited to have my friend come on and join us on Main Street Universe, because we have long esoteric conversations. You know, he's Christian. I am sort of the eclectic pagan guy. But we are an interfaith network.
Yes,
so
we are.
So we've had Christian hosts. Our old co-host, Brett Tillman, was Christian. I'm going to get someone who's... an imam at an Islamic temple around here to be, not a host, but to be a guest.
Okay.
So I might bring him in personally, just because I went to their place, I went to their temple. So just some updates I'm also trying to give you as well in our introduction. But this does lead in, because we're talking about another Afro-based, African-based tradition that's going on now. I mean, for the show. No, not physically. We're not going to do any of this tonight, as I wouldn't even know what I was doing. But the religion of Vodun, Voodoo, Yoruba, all of it much, very much misunderstood and probably demonized more than, than neo-paganism, than any, probably the most misunderstood religion, maybe in the modern civilized world. So, and also it has the Afro Caribbean connection and all of that in the great history. So, and then of course talking to my friend, we were talking about the Black Jesus. I mean, if you do a little bit of historical research, it's very hard to believe that Jesus would have even been white in the first place.
I don't believe it.
I don't think
he's
he
never been white in my house.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I you know, I'm Irish, but I don't, you know, think that Jesus came from Ireland. I thought all those stories took place in, like, you know, Sudan and Ethiopia and Mesopotamia and all those other places. And the Lost Tribes of Israel. So we'll have an interesting conversation about that. I might get my bro, Reverend Scotty Dog, involved in that one as well.
Oh, we love Scott over here.
He always he always has a lot of great information to bring. So that's where we're leading to, is the search for, like, Janice here, my co-host.
Hello, everybody.
Associate producer Janice R. White. On her very multifaceted spiritual path that she does, you know, also as well with the Fellowship of Isis, Selena Fox's group, and she is African-American herself.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder sometimes, and I'm just asking a question out loud, and then we'll do our little song and bring on the guest instead of us talking about it so much. If that idea that I was talking to my friend tonight, of Black Jesus had been maybe promoted more, I sometimes wonder, would they have, people have looked for something else? Like, their self-esteem maybe wouldn't have wanted to. It's just a kind of a philosophical point. I don't know. But then again, there are other things that people look for. Like, some traditions want, here's an ultimate answer, here's an ultimate truth, and other ones are more like, here's an exploration and here's nature. And I think that has a lot to do with why I left Southern Baptism, for example.
Oh, you
well,
do.
Yeah, well,
oh, okay.
Well, there we go. Was because
many years ago.
Many years ago, because I would say, oh, I had out-of-body experiences, and the preacher's response was, oh, that's the devil. Yeah. So that's not really.
And you need to be hospitalized.
Yeah, or something. And not that he wasn't like the most extreme, but he was like, you're in danger.
You're in danger.
And the whole point was, well, we wanted to explore. So, like I said, we have an interfaith value here. So when we bring on a Christian host, when we bring on a Muslim or Jewish, which we've had as well as mystically Jewish like Kabbalah, as well as atheists like our scientist Bahram, who did talked about. It was funny. He was an atheist talking about paganism in Iran. It was one of our early first interviews. But they say they still celebrate and let them off for the. The equinox and all of that for 2 weeks of school just because they've just been doing it so long, they just still let them do it. But anyway, I want to say that in any time we make a comment or anything, it's always respectful towards anyone's path. And of course, tonight we're talking about, in part, we'll be talking about, we'll talk about some other things too, a path that has definitely been bludgeoned as far as the media goes, as far as movies go, and everything else. So our guest tonight is Lilith Dorsey, and she is a voodoo high priestess, as well as been part of many other practices and paths, filmmaker, author, writer of a cookbook, and I'm curious about that. I haven't read the cookbook, and I actually really want to. But
I've seen it. I want to try one of the recipes.
Yeah. So join us here on Main Street Universe with our guest, Lilith Dorsey. We'll be back in just a moment, and this is our friend The Woven Green. Oh, yeah. everybody, and welcome to Main Street Universe Network, reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. And I don't know about you, but I can imagine
a lot.
And welcome now, Janice R. White, our associate producer.
Hello, everybody.
And she is also the host of the World Reggae Party.
Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Radio Fairfax.
F-P-A.
F-P-A, yes. F-P-A.
Which is a pretty nice studio. We've been there.
It's a beautiful studio.
And I've been there, and I actually sang a song in there.
First anniversary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No Woman, No Cry, Bob Marley. And this show is now at 8 p.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday. And then Thursdays is a series of rotating shows. And right now what we have is going to be the return of Queen Mother Imaku, which we mentioned earlier, the Kemetic tradition, which believed that the ancient wisdom of the Egyptian people came. They were, yes, from Egypt, but it was from Africans. And so we're talking about some of that aspect of spirituality this evening. And on other evenings. And she'll be returning, I think, to do a twice-a-month show. And the time will be, I think, 9 o'clock. But she might change that, but I think that's what she's going to be doing. And then also Jim and Ashley Cash, who Janice is having dinner with.
Yes, I'm having dinner with them on Friday.
Who are our new hosts. And they are also appearing on my band's new CD. They're playing on quite a few songs. Ashley lending her amazing voice, and Jim, his amazing guitar solos that he's done on like two of the songs now. And their band is called Woven Green. They also have a more full-on band called One Leap. Woven Green is them two performing together like as a solo. They're a husband and wife act, so a lot of musical and otherwise chemistry there. So how easy is that when you bring on a husband and wife band to be like your backup musicians for your album? It's like they work together all the time. It's just, and they did such a good job. So anyway, and they're, I think they're calling their show Woven Green as well. And it's very much about expanding consciousness and a bit new agey. And I say new agey in the nice way, not in the bad way. And they will be continuing once a month, and that's what these things are. Some of our shows are once a month. Then on Fridays, we have Jesse Ann Nichols George, and I think her new time is now at 8 o'clock. She's changing them according to, here's why, folks, because she's on tour. She's on a book tour. So she has
to.
She
was on the show last night, Victoria Vokes.
Okay.
So but that was about 9 o'clock. But she's on tour.
Yeah, so she's on tour, so sometimes she has to adjust what time she can do the show. It used to be called Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, but now it's back, pulled back to whenever she can do it, usually in the early evening, and be at a Starbucks or whatever she can be at, or a hotel, and do her show. And it's pretty amazing. She visited here, too, recently.
Yes.
So the Main Street Universe family, there are some of them that are distant are meeting each other, sometimes for the first time, sometimes the second time. So it's really cool for that to happen.
Sometimes old favorites that you cook dinner for them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or just like you'll be meeting Jim and Ashley again.
Yes.
Or for the first time. First time. I was like, me, I've hung out with them regularly. And I met them actually through the Unitarian Church. My brother's a minister. Anyway, so then on Saturdays, another rotating show night. So these updates are a tiny bit longer, but we'll be done them in just a second. But Mary Phelan has already started. She returned with us. She's been with us before.
Yes.
And she does
Mary.
Telepathic TV on the same night that Janice does FPA World Reggae Party.
Yes, I'm her technical director, sort of.
Oh, okay. So you actually work on her show a little bit.
Yeah,
on the same night. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And it's a great studio, and it's very inspiring to be there and see people working on what they love, and I always love being in those kind of environments. So Mary Phelan, again, once a month on Saturdays, so just check up or follow us, and you'll receive the little update for, okay, now Mary's show is going to be on tomorrow night if you become a follower of Main Street Universe on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I have to do that.
So then on Saturday as well will soon be Janice R. White's new show, right? You're going to try to make that happen on Saturday.
Well, I was thinking more Tuesday, but we can work it out.
We can work that out.
Yes.
It might be Wise Woman Center, and then we'll talk about that when we get to Tuesday. Reflections and Rhythms, which I think is a great name. So we're expanding here, folks. So it's like, if this sounds a little chaotic, picture it like you're walking into a house that's being renovated, because that's kind of what we're doing. We have a lot of renovations going on. But they're good, and they're all expansions. And we're getting more hosts than our main competition over there. I'm just playing with them. I'm friends with some of them over there. I won't say it, but it rhymes with Agen's Unite. And so, in fact, that's where we got Brett. We took them from. We took him from the Young Witches show way back when, and then he converted to Christianity again. But I thought that was good, and I liked having a Christian host, actually, because I liked the interfaith balance. Anyway, so we'll get through this. Then on Sundays, we have Spiritual Insight with Darren Boucare.
Yeah.
And Darren...
The show was good.
That's yes. He's very good at focusing on things like that. And he was talking about abundance, and he is good at realizing that it's not just about, oh, just, you know, casting a spell to win the lottery. It's building things in little steps, things that you can already believe, and then other little things that you can already believe since you've already gotten to this level. And he's done it for himself. So he is an example, not an example as a wealthy person, but he does okay for himself,
yeah,
doing what he loves, you know, talking about metaphysical things and being a, you know, palm and tarot reader. Yeah. And he doesn't rip people off. He's not one of those con artists that you see out there in the world that are always like, there's someone dark that has always followed you in your life, right? There's always that. And
yeah,
if you give me I saw a story where the lady was $1,000 a candle. I mean, who in the heck in their right mind would pay that? Especially in the age of internet, where you can go,
you can buy
a tarot deck for $20 and a little book to learn how to read the darn thing, rather than ask somebody else for $1,000 a candle. But we won't go there.
That's a different show.
We've talked about ethics before. Actually, Frank Stormcatcher was a great guest for that, and also we got into ethics at festivals, and so. It's great to ask for money. There's nothing wrong with asking for money, in my opinion. It's just a matter of there's a good and a bad way to do it, and that's sort of what we discussed. So there you go. You just as you're, I was reaching in my pocket for pennies. So Darren Boucare, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, and he's a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of
New Orleans. Louisiana.
As well as at Reverend Zombies. So if you check him out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think the same owner owns both places. And then, of course, Mondays we have Science of Light with Randy Goldberg. He's a Vedic astrologer as well as a Western astrologer. And I talked to him last night. I hadn't talked to him in a while. And he likes to discuss Jungian archetypes a lot. He's big into the archetype thing. And one time he was voted one of the top 5 metaphysical shows on Blog Talk Radio in our little e-zine that is sent to the host. So that was congratulations to him. He's very bright.
Yes, he is.
And it's a Science of Light. He's a local guy, another local one. So if we throw a party, a Main Street Universe party, he'd be one of the folks that could show up.
He's very nice.
Oh, yeah, he's a very nice person. And it's funny, his voice sounds a lot like Evan. I don't know if they're like from the same area or something. But anyway, for those out there in radio land, they might not know that. Evan Pass might be returning with Zariana Radio once a month, too. So we'll see about that as well. Zariana Radio, Evan is so, he's this crazy, young, brilliant bookworm host that we had.
Who's
just, he just knows so much esoteric knowledge that it just pours out of him, and then he starts creating stuff. It's quite brilliant. He's big into myth and lore, so he may be returning. And now for the final one to complete the circle will be our master herbalist, Miss Susan Weed, on Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And Susan is, of course, runs the Wise Woman Center up there in Catskills, New York, And we are so honored to have her. She's been with us for about a year and a half now?
Oh, I thought it was a year.
Maybe about a year and a half, year, okay. Something like that. And so honored to have her with us. And I have learned so much just being, because I show up to just sort of run the little show page and co-host it with her. I just sort of let her talk most of the time because she's the wise one and I'm just the guy on the other end of the phone. And so it's been so fascinating to hear her different take on so many things in the natural world. Some of them just taken for granted as, oh, that must be true. Like, she's not a big fan of the, I won't go into too much detail, but she's not a big fan of, like, the labeled diets and all that. But anyway, but it's taking longer now because now we have so many more shows. So anyway, that completes our circle for the Main Street Universe Radio Network. It's expanding. We have some amazing people joining us. But tonight is voodoo priestess, filmmaker, author Lilith Dorsey. And I see that there's someone in the queue, and I'm going to go ahead and press the button.
Hello.
Welcome. Is that you, Lilith?
Yes. Hi, how are you doing?
Doing
Hi, good. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good.
You got family going on there. That's fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. And what I'm going to
do here,
I'm going to set the microphone down gently because the signal is breaking up a little bit. And sometimes it can be on your end, sometimes it can be on ours. You know how Blog Talk Radio can be. I've noticed that if I put it on speaker, turn the volume mostly down, and then set it in one place, it sometimes stays.
All right.
That sounds good.
But Lilith.
Is that better? Okay, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
We can hear you too.
Now.
All right.
You have a new book out, and we'll go into a little bit of discussion about this book because I read what was available, but of course I couldn't read the whole thing, you know, in a few days. But you have a new book out called 55 Ways to Connect with Goddess. And
yeah.
I'm curious about the inspiration for this and the process of this, and you co-authored it with somebody else, so I think that's interesting as well. So maybe you can go into a little bit of detail about the newest project you were releasing and working on.
My friend Anata wrote the foreword, but it was really an honor to have her write the foreword because, you know, she's definitely, you know, we talk about crones in the community. You know, she's in her 80s, and I think she said that's it's beautiful. But she was able to impart a wisdom to it that I think younger people don't really understand. But I wanted to write something that was, you know, everybody's an expert these days, and I think that's fantastic. And everybody can, you know, fly their own flag, and that's beautiful. But I want all that anybody could do. It didn't matter if you were 2 years old, special needs, or if you've been practicing for, you know, 80 years, that there was something simple that we could all do to connect to Goddess in whatever way that was meaningful and special to us.
All right, yeah.
And it is agreed that not everything has to be complex. Like we had a while back, we had a conjured woman on, and she was talking about using really simple forces that you understand, like a clock or the setting sun. Or Ryan Foxworth talked about that too. He was talking about, yeah, if you want to throw something and dispel something, well, you know that sun's going to set. And so you know that this in your heart will work because that sun's not going to let you down. It's a real basic. And I always like simplicity like that in any working. So, yeah, working with the goddess doesn't mean you have to be a highly educated, you know, ceremonial magician. And again, no disrespect to that because I actually enjoy reading about that as well. But just making that connection of realizing one day, wait a minute, something's been left out of the equation. And that's how it happened for me. You know, I just was like, one day I was like, well, of course, it's just simple. It's just balance. You have a mother and you have a father. You have both. I mean, why? I don't even know where the argument is, really. Like, why is it even a debate?
Yeah, hello.
Because as sort of hyper-masculine as some of the Abrahamic religions can be in their extreme forms, it's why are they so willing and wanting to deny the other side, the other natural, completely natural side that gave that in one way also gave you birth? So I've always been fascinated why they hang on to that. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Oh, it doesn't make much sense to me either, because there's always been a male and a female. You know, if you even go back to when Adam was in the Garden of Eden by himself and lonely, as it's described
right.
in the Bible, that he was lonely, even though he had all these animals with him and, you know, all the plants and everything like that, that another was created now. Not going to go into about created out of his rib and things of that nature, but another was created, and it was a female. So it makes perfect sense to me that if you have a male and you have a female, you should be also having a male god or a father god and a female god, mother god or goddess. So I don't understand either why there's going to be such hypocrisy about it.
No, I agree, and I think a lot of people sort of compensate with that, with the cult of Mary, and, you know, look at even now this whole deification of Mary Magdalene in a lot of ways. I think that we want to, you know, everybody wants to look at these images of the feminine and sort of imbue them with power in whatever way they can, even within a Christian framework. But, yeah, there was a lot of hate. And there was something that was interesting when I was doing it, because I did a lot of work over the summer as a teen mentor. You know, a lot of the kids coming up now are LGBTQ, so it's hard for them to identify, you know, they can identify with the goddess, but they also identify with this blending, which I think is sort of a progressive, welcome one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that is a debate, too, even amongst people that are considered to be very liberated in this area, which is the pagan and or Wiccan or whatever you want to call it, community, Druids, everybody else. But the thing is, to me, it's levels of energy within the person, and that's how it's represented, as we're all made of energy anyways. So as you, of course, know, there are some men that have, they just seem to have a lot of feminine or female energy within them, and then some women that can be very masculine. So to me, it's just a representation of the energy levels within, as within, so without, as above, so below. So I don't think it's that controversial. I know some people will debate and go, well, they say there must be in this ritual a union of male and female. And I think they should just totally still feel that is natural, because it's just a different levels within themselves, and then just being expressed in the ritual because their partner might be more feminine or masculine than them anyway. So I don't really think it's something to be afraid of or step away from, you know, the polarity. It's just polarity is all
it's
it is.
Just polarity.
Yeah, light and dark, night and day, yin and yang, male and female.
Potato, potato.
Yeah, country and western or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's great. No, that is where I was going with it, that everybody should be able to ritual in whatever way that is comfortable for them. You know, whatever they're bringing to the table is what they have, and it's beautiful and unique and special, and, you know, we should welcome that.
Yes, I agree. So how's the book going so far, the new book?
It's funny, I got talking about this whole gender thing. I got, you know, people saying, well, are there any gods in it? You know, I was like, well, no, not really. I don't. It's
really?
It's pretty much dedicated to the goddess, and I give goddess examples and divine feminine examples. But, you know, I did have to answer that person. I was like, I'm not writing a tampon book. This isn't like, you know, an ABC Family Channel special. This, it's not that kind of thing, and that's not where I was going with that. So I don't want to scare away, you know, anybody who's male or something who wouldn't want to look at the book, because I think there's a lot of really valuable stuff in that about reconnecting to nature and things. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of, you know, decent feedback on it, but, you know, everything is a struggle.
So. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I gave you my review today.
Oh, thank you. It was great.
Thank you. So I'll be typing that up later.
I really appreciate that.
Anytime.
I wanted to say something. You got people with these really expensive spells. You know, I just wanted to say something about the other way. I get people who don't want to spend any money at all on their magic, which I think, well, you've got to expend some kind of effort somewhere in order to manifest change. That's just, you know, the rules of the universe. And one of the things I put in the book was a lot of things you could do, you know, without any money. Go into nature or collect, you know, sacred rocks or special, you know, things from special places for you to use in your magic and your ritual to get closer to goddess, you know.
Or playing with kids. I know that I didn't really play with kids a whole lot being single or being engaged. But as soon as I became a substitute teacher, bam, bam, you have to play with kids. But actually I'm enjoying it because it's setting the clock back, even if it's only for an eight-hour day, you know, because I get to play with children of all ages, actually, K through six, you know. Beginning to, 13, maybe? Six.
Right.
So.
And I also wanted to say that we are not, I'm not in any way against people making money as a spiritual professional either. There's a lot of debate in the community. Some pagans just have this thing about money that, like, my God, you shouldn't charge money for anything. And we're not like that at all. In fact, two or three of our hosts here at Main Street Universe are professional tarot readers or card readers or oracle readers. So they make a spiritual living, including Darren,
Kevin,
and others that have come and gone. So I'm all for being paid for your services. What we were
amateur, we were
talking about the extremes of the situations, basically, is what. Or selling, you know, your book. Because trust me, I make money the hard way. I mean, I'm out in the cold doing construction work right now. And I'm also trying to change that, you know. And it's been cold. It was 17 degrees today, you know, here in Virginia. And it was not a pleasant day. So I am all for people being paid for their knowledge, talent, skills, that they can provide for people, and if it's spiritual professionals, I'm all for that too, because it's a different way. I live with two ministers, two Unitarian ministers, and they make their livings being spiritual professionals, and it's different because they're in one of the main, you know, either if you're Christian or you're Jewish or you're Muslim or you're, you make your living as a spiritual professional. And it's through tithings and through all these other things, whereas the alternative ways, I guess, the pagans and everybody else, they make it through their other services that they offer, whether it's writing a book, whether it's doing a reading, whether it's maybe some of them are also artists that sell other things. And so I'm definitely all for the alternative paths making money. I just wanted to clarify that. I'm not anti-people, you know, making a living and eating and all that. And some people are, you'd be amazed. They look down so much on anybody that makes any kind of living doing anything like that.
That's too far, actually. So we can also talk about your, African-American ritual cookbook. which I don't have, but I do have some of your recipes because I know you're on Passos, and some of them I like because I like spicy things, and Shango and Oshun are two favorites of mine, and I know that you have a lot of written about them in the cookbook. But could you go a little bit and explain to our listeners about the cookbook in general?
Yeah, the cookbook, basically it's a collection of, there's a lot of ancestor recipes in there. There's recipes, like you said, for Shango and Oshun, from, you know, Santeria Lukumi tradition. There's recipes from New Orleans voodoo tradition. There's recipes from Haiti, you know. So there's a lot of different things in there for people to get a little taste of connecting with spirit. And for me, again, I think food is a really simple way for people to connect. You know, maybe they don't necessarily, luckily, you know, when I first started, my Unitarian minister was also a Haitian voodoo priestess, speaking of UU.
Oh, wow.
And that was really wonderful. That was fantastic. But, you know, sometimes they don't necessarily have a practitioner that they trust, you know, who's right around the corner for them, so they can connect in a simple way through food. And I think that it's also very, you know, sublime, because it really, you're nourishing yourself, you're using it as an offering for the spirit, and it's something you're taking the time and energy to invest. So I wanted to call it like 300 things you can do with sweet potatoes, because almost every recipe in there potatoes, you know, in one way or another for ancestors, or we have a deity called Simbi for communication. We do a lot of sweet potatoes, but you're right, Janice, a lot of them are spicy because we do a lot of warrior recipes, and, you know, New Orleans cooking is spicy, Creole kind of stuff, so, but yeah, I like it, it's a good cookbook. They're all on my blog too, Voodoo Universe, on Patios, so, but not all of those are in the cookbook. I do like,
and we do have, by the way, direct links to your stuff here on our show page, at least some of them. And I think to an Amazon thing and to your blog, and you have a blog called Voodoo Universe. And before I get to that, I did want to say that I think food is fascinating in the way that you were saying, is that it's a way that you can, like, bring people together, like if cultures don't agree or whatever, and there's something fascinating about how food can be like a doorway to understanding, and a doorway to, speaking of food,
yeah.
I had a little something, a doorway to opening up to other cultures for some people that it seems so alien to them, and then they, you know, they try their food, and they go, wow, I really like this, and suddenly maybe it lessens their harshness about what they felt about that other group.
Very much so, because, you know, in 8 days we're going to have a very big food day called Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Where family and friends, at least in my corner of the world, family and friends are going to gather together and eat until we pass out. But it's a very major holiday and a very major food day, and to be honest, a major connection day. It's a major holiday for a reason.
Right. It's a new holiday in some ways. I mean, it's an American holiday. In fact, I had to tell my boss, who's Romanian, I might be going away for a week, and he's like, Christmas? And I was like, no, Thanksgiving. He's like, Christmas. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you don't have to text me the days this holiday is on. So, yeah, I mean, he was frightened me about it, but he definitely, you know, I had to like explain it a little bit. But he's aware of it though, because he's been in America long enough. But being from his place, they don't take that time off like we do. It's actually one of the holidays that actually where more people take more time off on Thanksgiving sometimes than Christmas. I've heard that some people travel more. It's like, I think, I don't know if it's because it's I don't know the reason. In fact, the day after Thanksgiving is sometimes referred to as one of the busiest nights for local bars and pubs. Like, because you're visiting family on Thursday.
Black Friday.
You're at Black Friday, and you're like, okay, well, can't take my family too much anymore, so I got to go out to bar.
Yeah.
No, if you have at least one day with your family.
And because my sister was a bartender, she said Black Friday was always the busiest day. But anyway, back to the, we'll pull this in here, we'll rein this in. You are as well a filmmaker, and you were involved in film. And I love film, and I don't have that much experience with it, but a little bit. And I was wondering if you
love film too.
Talk about your movie that you had produced.
Well, I made a documentary about New Orleans voodoo called Bodies of Water. I'm still working on getting a distributor. Everything keeps falling through lately, but, you know, we still have hope, like Katrina rising from the ashes.
Right.
Basically, it's about the religion and the water and how our bodies are mostly water and how that, you know, we're affected by the bodies of water that we're near, so that the religion in New Orleans is affected by the Mississippi and the sacred energy that pulls from the water there. And, you know, I live here in New York and Brooklyn, and obviously we're affected by the sacred water that's here, so that there's this sort of connection to place, which I guess I could also make a connection to Thanksgiving, so that there's this, you know, sacred place connection, holiness to where we are, and that we can access that on a deep level, you know. And again, like I said in the book, that it doesn't have to be something that we have to be, you know, this skilled high magician to do. I mean, that might help, you know, in a lot of circumstances it does. That's been my experience. But it's also something that you could do with a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 13-year-old or, you know, an angry teenager. It's something that anybody can do, connect to place.
And that's the interesting thing to me about connecting with nature, which was my start. It was a quietness. And what I mean by that was when I felt as if, and I mean no disrespect as we are an interfaith network, when I felt as if the Southern Baptist way wasn't working, I just went outside into nature and it felt like, this feels like God to me. You know what I mean? Like, this feels like the, I felt the energy in the air and the energy in the trees and everything, and that God or goddess or whatever you want to say, or expression, it was within just all of the natural forces. So connecting with them can just be such a peaceful experience. So some people listening to us, that as being as a network of, you know, multiple faiths might be listening, we would say that there is no, I don't come at you with one absolute, one true answer. It's the one you go and find when you connect and get peaceful and relax and let things go. And so that was very much, to me, that was exactly the journey away from thinking I had one great, grand answer. And connecting with the ancient spirits is a process, it's a discipline, it's all of that thing. But at first, I think it starts just with that simplicity, almost like maybe in Taoism. It's just very simple. They just believe in sort of, they call it the one, the way, whatever. But my next question I want to get to, and then maybe we'll take a short break and let everybody catch their breath, is I'm curious, since you are a voodoo high priestess, what is your opinion of, and I'm taking things in a different direction now a little bit, what is your opinion of the modern direction and information towards voodoo, whether it be online or whatever? Do you think it's going in a good direction? Do you think it's good that it's being more noticed? Do you think it's bad? just curious what you think of the modern, or the youth, you know, the young ones that might come up and be interested in the Pat. Do you think this is positive, or do you see some negative in it? I'm just curious your opinion of that.
I don't know. I get labeled as the angry priestess, so this is probably going to sound like the angry answer, but I'm in a horrible direction. I have hope for actual kids themselves because I see a desire to learn, but what I see out there on the internet is just a bunch of crap most of the time, and the way people get access to information really is not judicious, let's put it that way.
Right.
So I do a search for something like Maman Brigitte, when I look, you know, the top five or six searches are really things that are not genuine, you know. And but I'm not the kind of person, I might be the angry priestess, but I'm not going to give you a list of, oh, then somebody at the airport with a human head in the bag. That's what I think about some of these people, and they really have shady reputations. You know, and I think that when you're talking about, not to bring it back to cooking, but this is the kind of thing where there are rules, and not just for, you know, physical, spiritual, emotional, you know, a whole bunch of reasons. If you're going to be trusting somebody in this way and they're really not genuine and they're going to be doing things that aren't genuine, then it scares me. Whereas maybe, you know, 20 years ago there was less of it, or there was, you know, maybe not as much, I don't know, availability for people to do this kind of thing and take advantage of people the way there is now.
Right.
Right.
And not only take advantage of, but maybe just misrepresent as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, when you look at places like Brazil, which talk about differential access to information, because some of what I've written about Brazil was removed from different social media sites as unsafe religious speech. Scary. Okay. Happened in 2014, but you know that people are doing these things and misrepresenting themselves. And in Brazil, they have, you know, and that verify, okay, this person has been doing this for so long and this is their training, and on this date, you know, maybe they got paid to drum for a ceremony and they didn't show up. So somebody wrote it down and it's recorded somewhere. And what we're dealing with in the United States is a much more shifty system where the people who are established are the people who have the most money, which doesn't necessarily mean they're the most effective or honorable practitioners.
Right.
Very true.
And since what we're going to do now is take a little break and give everybody a chance to take a breath, and we'll come right back. So I have to look at the time. I don't know what time it is, but it felt like we were having a nice conversation.
It'll be 9 o'clock in 10 minutes.
Okay. But we might go a little over our time, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
I want to respect your time, so I want that to be fully respected. But we'll take a short break and come right back. It'll just be like a minute or two. We're talking to Lilith Dorsey. She's a Buddhist priestess. We've talked about many things this evening. I think we drifted around a little bit, but that's okay. It happens sometimes with us here on Main Street Universe, as we are multifaceted. So we will be back. And for the next song, I think will be another song from our friends Woven Green. But first, the plugs.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. Thank you.
are back. And our guest is Lilith Dorsey. And we're in the final sort of waning hours of the show. And I'll turn Lilith's mic back on. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, what we wanted to discuss at the very end of this is, let's be honest that voodoo, voodan, yoruba, all that stuff has had a very negative reputation in Hollywood, in the public eye, and it's been very misrepresented. And we wanted to, without going into too much detail, discuss the idea of how to avoid maybe a bad teacher or one that's not legit in some way, to find the practice, to find it in a way that's legitimate and in a way that's genuine.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, you got to realize what you're going into. I think a lot of people that come from other pagan backgrounds, not ceremonialists, because they go through some stuff.
Right, right. Yeah. They'll do anything.
Yeah. And
yeah.
But, you know, they get the whatever after 6 months. There's a lot of things that have to go into it. It's a very, you know, there isn't really a big centralized text that people can look in and say, oh, on Thursdays I don't eat fish, because for everybody it's different, you know, because some people have different rules. That's why we choose our godparents very specifically, you know. You have to trust them with your life, basically, because your life is in their hands. If you have a health problem, you're going to go to them for this, and you got to realize that, you know, this is really what you're getting into. So that said, I think you've got to walk into it knowing that that's going to be the relationship you're entering into. It's not necessarily like, oh, we're all hanging out and friends, because it really is a teacher-student relationship. So, you know, what's this person's training? How do they respond to different situations? You know, things like that. Who's around them? You know, we do talk a lot about lineage. So, you know, who did the person study with? Who did their teacher study with? You know, all the way back. You know, some of my teachers I was mentioning before, my Haitian Vodou priestess, who's also a UU minister, you know, she trained in Haiti. She trained as a sambista. She's also a master drummer. She trained with Olatunji. She went to Harvard Divinity, you know, and she's a wonderful person. So her name's Bonnie Devlin. So for me, you know, we would have been very close anyway. It was natural for me to go to her as a spiritual teacher. And if you can't find that person, you know, pray for it and wait and, you know, get readings, get guidance. I know I travel hundreds of miles sometimes to see my spiritual teachers, so it's not necessarily going to be around the corner. And that's, you know, you accept that as part of your spiritual journey.
Right.
Right.
Then but I live with two Unitarian ministers, so I can just go upstairs.
Yeah, there.
But I don't think they would be experts in Voodoo, actually.
No, I don't at all.
But they're
not
good
all
people.
Of them.
But they're good people. And I would probably elaborate on, and I hope not to offend you, but to stay away from Facebook, because, you know, they just seem to be a dime a dozen on Facebook, and they're not. Now, I'm not talking about everybody, but there's, you know, a lot of these different Voodoo groups on Facebook and, you know, people advertising, you know, call us, and, you know, you really have to get to know your Hugon and your Mambo. You really need to get to know the family that is associated with the temple or the society, and, you know, spend some time with them in the temple, spend some time with them outside of the temple,
mm-hmm.
and, like, normal life, like in a supermarket, or,
yes.
Out to dinner, you know, and you can't really do that on Facebook, you know. Facebook is very limited, but you...
It could be a nice doorway, but I wouldn't put the whole thing on that.
No, I wouldn't at all. What is your take on that, Lilith?
Oh, no, I agree. I think it's turned into a complete and total psychotic lunatic madness.
Okay.
No,
well, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, don't hold it back next time.
I agree with you. But it's funny. My grandmother said you can't say something nice, you know, but a lot. You know, 20 years ago, you know, you, Janice, were one of my customers when I started the newsletter, you know, over 20 years ago at this point. You know, they were begging, now they're denouncing the entire religion as not genuine, you know. So it's funny how people become experts very quickly. And
yeah.
Especially when you're talking about something like voodoo, you know, I mean, those people, there's not records. I mean, you're talking about the Haitian earthquake. You're talking about New Orleans voodoo. I mean, even if you go back further than that, we're talking about colonialism and slaves. It's very hard. And you're right. You have to see the person in all situations. You know, you have to see them. My priestess Miriam in New Orleans, I know what she does, you know, at the airport when we're trying to get machetes through security. I know.
Oh, that's really nice. And I'm like, what is this for? It's just better to put it in your suitcase and let it go through. So
yeah,
don't have time for anything. But
Galea, which if you don't know, is powdered eggshell, but it looks like white powder that she was trying to take.
On the casera, the chalk.
As a chalk,
I said it wrong. I heard of that word.
A bag of white powdery stuff, yeah.
The white chalk. So.
And again, we're talking about misunderstandings, and we don't want to get into too much detail about some of them, even though none of it is bad or evil or devil worship. They're just practices. Like the conjure woman we had on the show a while back was like, I learned some of these spells in church. In the old days, you know, it's like, yeah, we learned it in church. And now, not exactly specifically voodoo, but the sort of American version of it that sprouted out into the conjure and the hoodoo. Because now I also had, I had a chat room person at one point who's gone, I think, now, who did ask, we might end with this. They said, well, is there, because, you know, how some people say witchcraft is sometimes a religion or just a magical practice, and they were asking, is voodoo a religion or a magical practice? Basically, it was a very simple question. Actually, it wasn't in the chat room. It was actually from a phone conversation I had earlier. I'm sorry, I was looking at the chat room. But it was a... So, is there any separation between the practice and a quote-unquote religion, I guess, is the question.
It happens all day, every day. So does that make it a practice or a religion? I was talking to a student from LSU yesterday about this for her anthropology class. And as an anthropologist, because I have degrees in anthropology, then have a system of belief that you know, follow every day, then that makes it a religion. And, you know, I was talking before about unsafe speech. The thing I had removed for unsafe speech was because someone was calling Candomblé and Mbanda not religions because they didn't have a centralized text that they could refer to. So just because there's no Bible or no, you know, 777, that it's
right.
Not a religion. It's true, necessarily. Have lots of rules and regulations and rites and rituals that we follow. So, because I want to give it the highest level of respect, and to call it something else would give it something less. But in a system of, if you want to say, is there magic? Yes, in every day, all day. A cup of coffee, you know, put something to into sacred spirit marriages at night. So I guess on that level, it would even be all night you were performing rituals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just asking more for the audience and for myself because I had that question from someone I was talking on the phone on earlier. I said chat, but I meant phone. And because they were like, oh, well, okay, so you have these practices, but are they actually a religion? You know, so people are very confused. I mean, and I understand that also, that Mudan doesn't necessarily want to be all that public. So I also understand that. And I'm not going to overexpose anything based on that. So I want to be respectful, too, if you know what I mean. That some of it is, yeah, it is private. You know, a neo-pagan ritual, I will do public every day. If someone tells me not to be public with what we're discussing tonight, then, of course, then we will leave that to what it is. But I really want to thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much. And keep in touch.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yay.
Email address now. Keep in touch. Because, you know, I'm having a women's program next month.
Okay.
I mean, I might have you on just talking about the cookbook alone.
Right.
Cooking by radio. It's a concept.
Okay. Radio cooking.
Yes.
I like that. I like that. Oh, God, it sounds great.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
For those...
Okay.
Good. And for those just tuning in, Lilith Dorsey, she's been a filmmaker, author, writer of, as well, a cookbook, as well as with Isaac Bonowitz, he did a book, and maybe
yeah,
at some point...
Actually, besides Oshun, that's how I heard of her through Isaac when he was alive.
I'm actually a member of the Druid group, the Henri Octane that Isaac founded. So at some other time, maybe I'll ask you about your relationship with Isaac or something like that, but we won't go into that now. We're running out of time.
He's
a very sweet man.
Mm-hmm.
So many Isaac stories. That would be great.
Yeah.
And so, Lilith Dorsey, you have a blog. It's on Pathos, and it's called the Voodoo Universe. And all of this is on our show page. So anybody listening, or that will listen in the future, as I call the magical time machine that is the archive, listen, will be able to find it. Which means you can listen to last week, next week, this week. I'll let you all figure that out. However, thank you so much, Lilith,
so much
for joining us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for joining us. And everyone, remember that you're listening to Main Street Universe, the show and network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
And I can imagine a lot.
All right.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.